All right, we want to talk to you about the changes that we're moving into, praise God. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating 35 years as a church, and Doc will be here, and have a great time, and special meetings, and the picnic, and all that good stuff. But we wanted to get some things across to you as a congregation first. So, as I said in the Facebook blurb, whatever you call it, posts, whatever you call those things, that we want to try to answer some of the who, what, when, why, where kind of questions and get you thinking. So I want to start out with the book of Psalms. Get your Bible out, because we're going to want to do everything by the Word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
If you need a Bible, I should have some of those for you. Praise God. It's one thing we're always going to come back to. It's the Word of God. It's going to have something that's a standard, and that's our standard. Praise God. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I like the way this reads in the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, but it says what I want to say as we're starting off this morning. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Let me read that again. I will instruct you, says the Lord, guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. See, the Lord, and we're talking more about the progress of the direction for the church, but not only do we have a direction as a church, but we should have a direction individually.
Amen.
For our lives. It's a hard life if you're just going to wander around. And I when I was a kid, I had this toy. It was a bulldozer, and you'd wind it up, and it would bounce against something and back up and turn a little bit and bounce against something else. And I think some people are living their lives that way. Just bounce. What if they bounce off and try a new direction? We should find our direction from God.
Amen.
Because sometimes you go by open doors, and sometimes you have to open the door.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to knock the door down and move on in the things of God. So, and he said, I will advise you and watch your progress. God's going to be right along the way with us. He's not just sending us out there and say, you know, I'll see you at the end of the trip. He's going to be walking through this whole thing with us. Praise God.
It says, you know, we're like Moses. You know, Moses. How did Moses say that? If you're not going to go with us, we're not going to go.
We don't want to go.
And that's our heart. You know, we're only going where we see that God is taking us.
Amen.
We've learned the hard way that we don't want to be just us.
Yes. Much better when it's Him. Somebody will say, you know, poor old me, it's just me and God. Well, that'd be a pretty good place
Amen.
To be. Praise God. Proverbs 29. Go back a book to Proverbs. Chapter 29 and verse 18. This is out of the original King James. For those of that like the original King James, I bet. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. No vision, people perish. When the phrase there, people perish, has the idea when people become unrestrained. We're going to talk a lot about vision this morning, and we've been talking about that, because what a vision does is put some restraint in your life. You've got a direction. You're going somewhere.
Right.
And not just like that toy, you know, bouncing off and going and trying something new every week or every day. We've got a direction for our life. Gets us up in the morning, gets us going during the day. Praise God. Got a reason for going forward. We need some restraint in our life.
Amen.
Some restraint is good. Just every day, you know, whatever is not God's plan. God's plan is a direction that we're going forward in. And there's something about knowing you're going somewhere, knowing you're making some progress, praise God. Knowing God's got you this far, and He's going to take you all the way through. Now, one of the reasons, probably the main reason that we're making a lot of the changes that we're making is because we had this, Diane and I had this in our heart, and then we were talking to Doc, and he was talking to us about also the churches our age, in this age bracket of 30 to 35 years old, have a lot of us finished the first vision that the Lord has given us. So you don't keep trying to do what you've already accomplished. You find out what God wants you to do, and you move on from there.
Yeah.
If you remember, those of you who've been around for a while, our original vision was Believers Fellowship Center is a family church, tabernacle of worship, a dynamic training center, using the Word of God, the name of Jesus, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to affect the individual, the family, the community, and the world. Have we done that?
Yep.
Now, if you've been around for a while, you know that we know other churches have come out of here and started. You don't look at what's happening right here and say, well, it's, you know, it's a smaller congregation that's been in the past. We started a church in Afton. We started a church in Johnstown. There's a church started in southern Pennsylvania. A church started in North Carolina. And people have gone out of here, learned what they could from God here, and gone out and not only started churches, but gone to other churches, and they're participating in their churches. And people have gone out and started missions work. We've got a young man, young family, who came out of here, got a great missions work working in South Africa. People, actually, almost any country that you can think of, people have gone out from here and ministered for the Lord there, either temporarily or continued to. So we feel like this is how the Lord started us out. That's not like we never do that anymore, but that was the foundation that we're built on, and we move on from there.
Amen.
We've had good results, praise God. We got a lot to praise God for, but we're not done.
Amen.
We've got more to do from here. We're looking up, we have some books by John Mason and other people where they challenge you to keep moving forward, and there's a lot of quotes about change. And you know me, I need all the help and change that I can get, praise God. Change is not comfortable for everybody, but change is necessary. So here's some of the things.
If you don't change, you're dead.
Yes.
The two options, what are you going to pick?
The first quote, when you're through changing, you're through. So.
Change is always hardest for the man who is in a rut, for he has scaled down his living to that which he can handle comfortably, welcomes no change or challenge that could lift him up. I see Neil Street.
Yeah. Stubbornness and unwillingness to change is the energy of fools.
Yeah. You've got to be open to change, because every time you think you're ready to graduate from the school of experience, somebody thinks up a new course.
How many found that to be true?
Yeah.
Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their mind cannot change anything else. George Bernard Shaw.
And changing doesn't always mean the opposite. In fact, most of the time, it means adding to or slightly adjusting what already exists. And I believe that that's where we are. It's not like we're throwing everything out of the past and starting over, but we are making some adjustments, and we are starting over. So it's, you know, it's two different ways of approaching it, but I believe this is where we are.
Amen. Take a look at the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15 and 16. I hope that you'll think of this not only in terms of what the church is doing, but what the Lord is speaking into your life too.
Amen.
Because again, the individual vision and direction is very important.
Amen.
But we want to be at any moment where God wants us to be, on the path he wants us to be on. Sometimes we've missed blessings of God because we weren't where we're supposed to be.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15, this is out of the Amplified Bible. Look carefully how you walk, how you conduct your life, in other words. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. There's a regional language has the idea of make sure you're putting your foot where it belongs. We're in the days that we live in, you can't just haphazardly run through life. You're going to get yourself in trouble. I always think when I read that, I think about one of those Indiana Jones things where he had to spell out the word, and if he didn't put his foot on the right stone, everything fell out beneath him. Well, life is like that sometimes, because we're just, if you live haphazardly, we need to live specifically and accurately. Not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up every opportunity, because the days are evil.
I think that phrase, live purposefully. Here I am, 61, and, you know, realizing how much I have less of my life left than I've already lived it. And, you know, looking back on things that have happened, you know, in both of our lives and stuff, and recognizing, you know, and this is especially to people younger than me, is, you know, you hear the phrase, it goes so fast, but anybody that's, you know, it goes so fast. But how much time I spent because of stuff, you know, because of depression, because of other things going on, that I did not live on purpose, you know, the things that I knew that I did not live, you know, on purpose for various reasons. And it just, you know, it just emphasizes, isn't the right word, just the confirmation to me that life, you know, having a purpose again in life. And life is so much better when we have a purpose, when we have a reason for getting up in the morning. You know, it totally changes your outlook on life. You know, it keeps you going when things are tough, keeps you going in a direction. So I encourage you, you know, no matter whatever age you are, and if you're older than me, that doesn't mean, you know, your life is over either. You know, I always think of, was it Grandma Moses? I don't think she started painting until she was like 80 or something like that. So I still have a lot of time in my life to accomplish something. And that's what, you know, I'm looking for. I'm going to finish strong. You know, that's one of the things that Wayne and I are agreeing. We're going to finish strong. We are not going to end our life and not accomplish what God has called us to.
Amen.
And so I don't just say that just for the two of us, but we need to take it personal. It's not just, you know, we're talking about the church this morning, but as Wayne said, it's individual. You know, if you don't have a purpose in your life, well, find a purpose. If you're depressed, well, God can get you out of that. You know, God can give you a reason for living again, but we must cooperate with Him. We must turn to Him instead of looking in ourselves. You know, that one phrase about, you know, it's the fool that doesn't, you know, that doesn't live on purpose. So I encourage you this morning to, you know, stir yourself up this morning. You know, get a hold of this, that we're moving. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere as a church, but individually, because as we accomplish the vision that God has called us to, I can just see people going out from here, and you're going to have own, you know, ministries. I'm getting ahead of myself in the notes, but you're going to be going out there, and you're going to be accomplishing things out there. It's not just in here, but this is a starting place to prepare you, to equip you to go out and fulfill what God has called you to do. That's what we're about. Praise God.
And when you're coming to the place in your life where you're, you know, finishing strong, you need to pass on to the next generation.
Amen.
In fact, Brother Hagin told us, somebody said to Brother Hagin one time, these guys that you're sending out, that you're training in Rainbow Bible Training Center, they're liable to go out and do more than you've done. He said they better, because our ceiling should be the floor of the next generation as they come on. It shouldn't.
Right.
We've had too many generations where each generation started over again, and we're not making enough progress. We need to build on what's already been done.
And that's just not just spiritual things. You know, your kids should be better parents than you are. You know, they should be better husbands and wives than you are. You know, you should be reproducing yourself in whatever position. You know, if you're as an employer, if you have an employee quit and you have nobody that's been trained up to take their place, you know how hard that is. If you're in a business, you know, you understand that. If there's nobody to take your place to fulfill, you know, to take on whatever you have, whatever experience, whatever wisdom you have, if there's nobody that you're pouring yourself into, then your life is limited. You know, we are not successful until there's somebody that takes our whatever we have, takes that on to the next generation. That's what success is.
Yeah.
That's not what I do. It's that someone is taking it on in the next generation.
And for those of us that have reached this young age, you know, it behooves us to. I hear too much when people get 65 and older about, well, I'm tired and I'm just gonna rest. Well, heaven's coming, and we're going to rest. And it's not that you can't do the same things at 65 that you did at 25. But if we don't take what we've learned
right. And
pass it on to the next generation,
right. Whatever
time we have between now and Jesus comes or whatever, we're not doing what God's told us to do. So it's not time to quit.
Amen.
Throughout the Bible, there was certain people, the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament, that were aware of the times that they lived in. They were wise about the time. The Bible uses this New Testament word in the Greek. It's kairos, which is opportune times. And yes, these are challenging times, but they're also opportune times, and we need to take advantage of them.
Amen. So we're not done. We're starting over. And the second trip is going to be a whole lot better from the first trip, because we learned a lot on the first trip, what to do, what not to do. So the second trip is going to be a whole lot more fun. Amen.
Going to
well, Jess and Doreen, that's going to be fun for them. The rest of you, we'll pray for you.
we've gone to church growth seminars where the speaker got up and said, yeah, I can tell you what not to do. And if that's all we learned, then that's a good start anyway, yeah. Praise God. So it's gonna take, and it's not going to just happen just because we decided we're starting something new. It's going to, you know, take rolling up your sleeves and finding out what God wants you to do and doing it with all your heart, doing it heartily as unto the Lord.
And it's going to take change. There'll be change, structural change. There'll be administrative change here. And you're going to have to make some adjustments. Obviously, Wayne and I have to, but we have a lot of work to do to get this vision, you know, beginning to operate. So it's going to take some work.
Yeah. I read a real good book by Charles Stanley's son, Andy Stanley. It's something about the road or the path. And he was talking about we need to look at the road that we're on, and by now we should be able to look at it and see where it's going. And if it's not going where we want to go, might be good to get off, get yeah. onto the right one. You know, he points out, you can be really passionate, you can be good looking, you can be gifted, all these kind of things, but if you're on the wrong road that's taking you somewhere you don't want to go, you're still going to go there, no matter how passionate you are.
And with God, there's no age. I mean, it doesn't matter how young or how old we are. You know, it's not that, okay, I'm a certain age, well, it's too late. No, it's not too late. We can always change.
Yep, even me. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20 to 22. Probably find some of these scriptures are already underlined or should be in your Bible. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Talking about the words, the word of God, the Bible, should be in our attention. It should be coming. We should be thinking about it. We should be meditating on it. We should be speaking it. Should be going back to where we started. It's the basis. It's the standard. It's everything. We go back to that foundation. We go on from there. It should. So as we go forth, particularly when you're making adjustments and making changes, we keep coming back to the Word and make sure the adjustments are aligned with the Word. That everything that we do is embedded in the Word. The Word's embedded in us as we do it. That we have a scriptural foundation to walk forward on.
Amen.
When we started out in 79, it was a long time ago, I had one particular word from the Lord. It wasn't an audible word. It was just kind of an impression on the inside. And we were coming out of Rhema, and we came up here to start a church. And what I had was God said, my people are hurting. I want you to bring them my word so I can help them. And that's really the foundation of everything that we've done for all these years. It's based on the Word. God can help us when we take His Word and receive it and meditate on it, study it, and make it part of our lives.
We are a Word and Spirit church. We have been a Word and Spirit church from the beginning. We will continue to be a Word and Spirit church. What does that mean? It means our focus is not just the Word of God, but also the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. He yes. always will be, as long as Wayne and I are alive and around. You know, there's a lot of churches that the Spirit, Holy Spirit has been invited out. It's more comfortable in churches where the Holy Spirit is not allowed to move, but that's not who we are. You know, other churches, they're doing whatever they feel they're supposed to do, but we are a Word and Spirit church. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe on laying hands on the sick. We believe in, you know, the allowing God to move. We look forward to seeing having the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of God in our services and in our lives.
Amen.
That's who we are, and we will always be. We are not ashamed of that. But if there is, you know, if you are ashamed of hearing someone speak in tongues in a service, then you get before God, because that's who we are, and we're not going to cut off the move and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And this is the foundation that we're building on. You know, there was a picture given one time, and a prophecy was given years ago, that a lot of times the church is building, but they've moved off the foundation. They aren't where they started. Well, this is where we started, and this is where we're building. It's just new principles, new understanding of what God's telling us, but on the same foundation as we go forward. Luke chapter 17. Verse 20 and 21. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Amen. So wherever we go, that's where the kingdom of God is. Amen? We've been trying to get the principle across for a long time. We don't go to church. We are the church. So church, kingdom, wherever we go, that's where the kingdom of God is. There was one word of prophecy that we actually received before we left Tulsa, Collinsville, Oklahoma, and was not long, not only a little bit of time before we left, and somebody said to us, by the Spirit of God, "You've been faithful, and I'm going to bring faithful people to come and serve with you, not for us, but with us." And the Lord's been faithful to do that for all these years. Praise God. So it isn't Wayne and Diane's church. It's not Wayne and Diane's kingdom. It's God's kingdom, and we're all working in it together. Praise God.
Like Wayne said, if I merely go to church, I'm only the church when I'm here. But when I am the church, then the kingdom is wherever I am. Now, the kingdom is wherever I am as I am doing the things we're learning about, as I'm walking in grace, as I'm changing my heart, you know, then the kingdom is in manifestation. Yep. The kingdom is, we have the potential of having the kingdom blessings operate in our life, but there's more to it. It just doesn't happen. You know, we won't go into that message today. Anyhow.
Uh-huh. We're going to spend some time as we go through the rest of the summer, particularly after the celebration, of focusing on gifts. There are no ungifted people in the body of Christ. All of us have gifts from God, and we need to discover what they are and use them, because God hasn't gifted you in an area that He doesn't want to use you. He hasn't gifted you for some gifts that you just sit aside and not use for the rest of your life. So some of the things that we've learned before, we need to rehearse, because all of you have gifts, and that's going to be some indication of the direction that God has for you. You're going to find those.
One of the things that God spoke to me several years ago, for me personally, is my ministry is to help you succeed. And that's, you know, that's what our heart is, you know, is to that's our purpose, is to equip you, to teach you, to train you, to help you succeed. Not just here as a Christian, but as a when we manifest the, you know, being a child of God, we manifest the kingdom of God, then it's gonna make a difference out there. It's going to make a difference wherever we are, whether it's jobs, whether it's shopping, you know, whether it's family, you know, wherever it is, it's going to make a difference. And so that's what we're about here, is what we want to do, is to help you be successful.
I believe in this term, predestination. Have you heard that term before? Predestination. Now, it's used a lot of times to mean God has a destiny for us and we have no choice in the matter. But that's not what the Word of God says. I don't believe in that. We have a destiny, but whether we reach it or not is up to us.
Amen.
And it's up to Diane and I and the leadership to help us find that destiny and reach it. When we get out of here, we want to look back like Paul did and say, "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've done what God called me to do."
Amen.
That's you can comfortably just fall asleep in the Lord and go on to be with Him when your life is over. Or just look forward to the rapture of the church when you know that you've been about God's work. You found your destiny. You're following that with all your heart. Jeremiah chapter 15, Old Testament. Jeremiah 15, verse 15. Jeremiah has been called the weeping prophet. Even the book that related to him is Lamentations, or the Lamentation of Jeremiah. I don't know if he's fun to be around or not. He was apparently a pretty good man. The New Living Translation, starting in verse 15, Jeremiah 15, starting in verse 15. "Then I said, 'Lord, you know I am suffering for your sake. Punish my persecutors. Don't let them kill me. Be merciful to me and give them what they deserve. Your words are what sustain me. They bring me great joy and are my heart's desire, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. I never joined the people in their merry feasts. I sat alone because your hand was on me. I burst with indignation at their sins. Why then does my suffering continue? And why is my wound so incurable? Your help seems to as uncertain as a seasonal brook. It is like a spring that has gone dry. His complaint was he was lonely and he was disappointed with his lot in life. Of course, none of us have ever felt anything like that. And he was going through some difficult times. Verse 19, the Lord replied, if you will return to me, I'll restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak my words that are worthy, the Amplified adds this, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness. He goes on to say, you will be my spokesman. Now, here's an important part. You are to influence them. Do not let them influence you. You are to influence them. Do not let them influence you. They will fight against you like an attacking army, and I will make you as secure as a fortified wall. They will not conquer you, for I will protect and deliver you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Yes, I will certainly keep you safe from these wicked men. I will rescue you from their cruel hands. Praise God. We are, and we are in a dark time. The world's in an interesting place. The government's doing whatever they're doing, and all that stuff is going on, and we have all this information thrown at us all the time. But we're supposed to be living life, not influenced by that, but influencing.
Amen.
We're supposed to be influencers. Leaders are influencers, praise God.
Amen.
We don't let ourselves be changed. We change those around us. We don't sit around and just complain about it. We live the life, and we give up people opportunity to change and be influenced by our life.
Amen.
Dictionary defines influence as the capacity or power of persons or things to produce effects on others by intangible and indirect means. Whether we like it or not, we're having an effect.
Yep.
The only question is it the effect that we want to have? If we just sit around like Jeremiah was doing and whine and complain, we're having an effect. But that's not the kind of effect that we want to have. We can be strong.
One of the things that, you know, you think you're not an influencer, but with when we were my mom's viewing, these two women came in and started talking to me, and they said, you probably don't know who we are, do you? And of course I didn't, but they were two women who, when we were kids, you know, when we were in lived in Pennsylvania, they were kids going to church we went to. And they were from a family of dysfunction,
that would qualify.
Alcoholism. Yeah. It was just poverty, extreme poverty. It just was, they came from a really, was not a good situation at all. And yet to see them, you know, they were obviously stable. They looked, were living prosperous lives. Now, either one of them, I don't think were serving God like they knew, but what they knew of what they had learned is kids. And they were there because my mother was the biggest influence in their life. And if you knew my mom at all, and you told her she was a great influencer, she would totally deny it. Mm-hmm. She would argue with you, you know, no, she doesn't have any positive influence. But they just were talking about her, you know, and what she had spoken to them and how she had helped them and the difference that she had made in their lives. And it just was such a comforting testimony to me to hear that. But it just, you know, it hit it with Wayne and I that it doesn't matter if you think you're influencing anybody or not. We are. Everybody we have contact with, we are influencing them one way or another. We're influencing them towards God or away from God. And we may not say anything, but our body language, the expression on our faces, how we treat them, we are influencing. And we need to remind ourselves of that and recognize I'm a very important person. Each one of you here this morning, you are very important people to God. You are very important people in the kingdom of God. God has called you to influence and affect people that nobody else is going to have contact with. Amen. And it's not a, to look at it, and see pressure and condemnation. No, all we have to focus on is our relationship with God. On the things that we're learning Thursday night, about changing the beliefs in our heart, about becoming more like Jesus Christ, and we will automatically have a positive influence. It's not something we have to work at. Yep. It'll be just, this is who I am, because that's how you're influencing people now. Yep. It's who you are. It's not, I better watch what I say here. I better, make sure I do this, make sure to. No, you're influencing just because of who you are. But praise God, we can change any negative into a positive.
You don't have to try to become something you're not.
Right.
We found the same thing with my dad. My dad was you would consider a very introverted person, just easy to get along with, nice guy. But when we were at his funeral, people were coming from everywhere, and a lot of talk was, Dad would come in and give him a hug. And there was something about him just giving him a hug. See, when not everybody's going to be able to be like Peg and talk to telephone poles and everything else, It'd be that kind of extrovert. Praise God for that, but you can still be who you are and do the things that it's natural for you to do in the spirit and have an effect on the people around you. Praise God.
And a lot of these people that talked about him giving them a hug were not Christians. They were not born again.
That's right.
Did I miss? Oh, okay. Yes, we jumped around with our notes. Okay. I want to look at Matthew chapter 28. And starting in verse 19, the Great Commission. Verse 19, it says, of Matthew 28, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." It's where our vision is coming from. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So, I've had comments, heard comments about, about not doing outreach. Are we different? Are we not going to do outreach? We're not going to do missions anymore because, we took the map down and everything. But right here, it says, make disciples of all nations. So it's just, we're changing, but we haven't changed. It's still the word, okay? But I want to focus on this, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And we can look at that, and we naturally think of spiritual things, but Jesus taught about life. And so to think of that from our perspective, each one of us, once again, being influencers, we are all teachers. Whether you're in front of a group or whether it's one-on-one, whether as a parent you're a teacher to your kids, to whoever you spend time with, you're a teacher. You're teaching them something. Amen. So we are teachers individually and corporately. But as we, as we start this new journey, as we, with this new vision, I see ourselves not just in here, but out there. I see ourselves building relationships in here, but building our relationships out there. Of networking is the word to use. But that's part of our job, meeting needs, meeting needs in here, but then going for overflow, meeting needs out there. As I said before, I can see people in this church going out and starting new ministries, going out and maybe volunteering in a ministry that's already going on, but meeting needs, because when we're meeting needs, we have influence. We have connection with people that we're not going to have connection just by being in church. But we are not going to be organizing, outreach events. Per se. We're not going to be organizing going out and street witnessing at this point. We're not going to be organizing going out and feeding the poor at this point. But that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be doing it. You don't need you don't need us saying, yes, we're going to do this and getting everybody else around you. No, if God has that in your heart, you are responsible to do what God has put in your heart. Amen. That's what we're doing. But it's not limited to here. Here is where we learn. Here is where we grow and develop. But we're supposed to be using that out there. Amen. That's what it's about. So we're supposed to be witnesses out there. We're supposed to be making disciples in here, but making disciples out there. I believe that we're going to have classes, not just teaching spiritual things, but as I said before, teaching them to observe all things. You know, the culture that we live in, you know, reading books and listening to people talk and stuff, is there's such a lack of character in society. Well, it's the church's responsibility to teach character, beginning as kids. You know, you can teach character and not use scripture, because you're still teaching scripture. You're just not saying chapter and verse.
Yep.
You know, the society we live in, people don't know how to cook. People don't know how to take care of houses. People don't know how to parent. People don't know how to be husbands and wives. We are called to do that kind of thing.
Amen.
You know, if you look at in the Jewish religion, the stuff that they teach their kids how to use computers. They teach their kids how to invest. It starts in the church.
Yep.
That's what we're called to do. So that's what our vision is about. It's not just a spiritual, you know, this making disciples, you know, and we're just going to read the Bible and that's all it's about. No, we're called to so much more than that.
Amen.
And that's what this vision is about. That's what this change is about.
Yep.
Some of you are called to have your own businesses. Some of you are called, maybe a job. Some of you are called to politics. Some of you are called to ministries. We are all called to something that the whole church is not going to get involved in, but we're here to support you as you go out. We're here to equip you in the part that we can equip you with.
Amen.
But we are called to be influencers.
Amen.
We are called to be known out there by, you know, about God, not because of BFC, but because of God.
Amen.
That's what we're about.
Yep.
Praise God.
If you think about it, you know, we've done some fun things over the years. Remember we did a couple of free car washes? And we did the wrapping gifts for free gift wrapping at the mall and so on. If you think about it, why can't a person do that on their own? What if the Lord says, go over to your neighbor and wash his car? What if the Lord says, I got an older neighbor and they're it's Christmas time and they can't get all their gifts wrapped. And so you went over and did it for them. This is the kind of thing that Christians are just supposed to do. And we don't need an organized plan for all the church doing it together to get it done. Praise God. Luke chapter 6.
You didn't.
What am I going to do? Yeah, I'm going to say that after.
Okay.
Verse 40. Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. He emphasized that perfectly trained, completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected will be like his teacher. That's what we're all working on. It doesn't happen just at church. It happens because we're in the Word. We're letting the Spirit of God work in us. We're changing our hearts. We're working on those things. So our new vision, which you should really have in your heart by now, and in your head at least, is growing disciples to build the kingdom. Growing disciples to build the kingdom. You focus on disciples. And you could say, if you notice when Jesus was talking in the Gospels, a lot of the word disciple is used quite a bit. When you get over in the book of Acts and on from there, it uses more the word believer, but there really is a lot of similarity to those two words. When Paul was going out and Peter was going out and James going out and getting people born again, they talk about them being believers, because that's what you, it's not just believing to get born again, but going on from there and becoming a believer and growing as disciples and believers, very similar together. We need that, again, vision to go forward on, all being about that in some way or another. Not everybody's going to do it in the church in a teaching class or anything like that, but we all need to be involved in the process. In fact, we need to make sure that we are becoming disciples who disciple. Because you're going to come across people that no one else will come across that you can be in the process of discipling. And, you know, I think in the days that we live, a lot of people are not going to come to church to get these things taken care of. You're going to need to go to their house. They're going to come to your house. So you're going to be working on it at work, like Mary Beth has talked about, where just being there for people and helping them through the process. Rick Renner said that. I don't know if you know Rick Renner. Renner's written some great books and has a great church in Russia, of all places. He said this: when a person has a vision before him, he has a goal to live for, an objective for which to shoot. This gives meaning to his existence, a purpose and a plan designed specifically for his life. It gives him a reason to get up in the morning and a reason to keep fighting against the odds he encounters along the way. A vision gives him inspiration and motivation to keep striving until he's reached what God has put in his heart. We all need that. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Luke chapter 5. I understand that it's difficult for some of us to think about changing the name of the church. Luke chapter 5, verse 37. New Living Translation. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. The new wine would burst the old wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be put in new wineskins. Notice, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the fresh and new. The old is better, they say. Haven't tried it. I am one of those who hasn't been really good at trying new things. Somebody was just trying to get me to try something yesterday that I don't know what it tastes like, and I don't really care to know at this point. Yeah. If you know what I mean. Not quite as bad as Dave yet, but I'm moving along. Sorry, Dave.
But he used to be like Dave.
Yeah, but there are things that we need to be willing to move on and try. So, we're starting again. We're re-beginning. We need an identification on the outside that says changes have happened. I've read somewhere where motivation comes from change. When there's a change or improvement or something like that, we get the feeling we're doing something. We're not just static. We're moving forward. So sometimes we need to be a little bit uncomfortable and move forward and be willing to make the changes God's called to us. So we spent time, and we appreciate a lot the thought that y'all put in with the suggestions. There were a lot of great suggestions. There were a few comical suggestions. I think my buddies from City View Church, I think, because there was one sitting there said City View Church. So I think that probably came from Pastor Jay. So why don't you call your church after ours? And then we had, you know, a person's name in the church. And what was Doc saying way back when? He said,
I don't remember.
Dr. Lemon.
Oh, we were teasing with Dr. Lemon.
The
with
Lemon,
him, saying
Lemon
Dr.
Tabernacle.
Lemon's Temple or
yeah,
Dr. Lemon's Temple.
Something like that, yeah. But we've got a combination, I think, of different things that were said that kind of builds on the past but also moves us forward to the future. And we'll tell you sometime. Now we're going to tell you this one. Believer's Church at Glenville. Okay, I'll be going now. I'm listening. Did you hear crickets chirping? I thought I did.
It doesn't really matter. We've weighed this for years. It's Believers Church at Glenville is the name, the new name of the church.
A lot of my friends over the years didn't remember Believers Fellowship Center, but we have been called Believers. So there's a connection there. And
the reason we ended up with the word believers is because the new vision is, you know, growing disciples, and the word believer and disciple are synonymous. But the word disciple has a more of a religious connotation, which may be off-putting for younger generation. So that's why we chose the word believers.
Say it with me one time.
Believers Church at Glenville. Glenville.
One more time.
Believers Church at Glenville. So we were leaning towards Believers Church, but then after discussion we added at Glenville because in the future when we start, if we start more churches, we can have Believers Church at wherever. So.
Yeah. So Believers Church at Glenville is a word and spirit church growing disciples to build the kingdom.
That's who we are.
We're going somewhere, praise God, and do some things for God.